Turn it into wine. Lord, turn this message and this play, Lord, that they poured the water into the water pots just now. I pray that you'll turn it into wine. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. I ask you to save people today in this service. I pray, Lord, that you'll equip us to serve you. And Lord, help us to get a hold of these eternal truths that's in this passage of Scripture. Lord, we need reminding every week, every day, Heavenly Father, we're punctured with the deceptive philosophies of this world. And Lord, apart from your word and apart from your truth, they would deceive us and make us think, Lord, that the world's wine is what we need. But Lord, today help us to know, God, that the wine will run out one of these days that the world has to offer us. And God, that we'll need the wine of Christ. Lord, we thank you so much today for your truth. Help us to preach it to thy glory. And I mean, Lord, help me to preach. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 2, the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, uncircle that, they wanted wine. The mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Circle that. Jesus said to her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. There were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. He saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. And saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. I want to preach this morning on the subject of when the wine runs out. There's an inference here that at this wedding that they had had some wine, but that the wine ran out. That's inferred in chapter 10 when the governor said, you know, well, this is different because he said most people will bring the best, the good wine first, and then after everybody's about a half liter, whatever, they'll bring the worst wine. He said, you've done it different. He said, you brought this good wine. In this passage of Scripture, there are 2 types of wine. There's the wine that the world had first and that ran out on them. Then there's the wine that Jesus gave them that never ran out. There are 2 kinds of wine in the Bible. There is a wine of the world, and the wine of the world is what the Bible said. It is wine. Wine is something that brings joy. It brings, it has a party atmosphere to it, an atmosphere of fun, joy. For the Christian, God tells us, be not filled with wine where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. God compares being filled with the Spirit to being filled with wine. B.R. Lakin said, a drunk man will... He's liberal. He'll buy drinks for everybody. A spirit-filled man is liberal. He's willing to give of his life. A drunk man, he wants to have a good time and enjoy, and he's got a smile on his face a lot of times. And there's a lot of comparisons between drunk with regular wine and being filled with the Spirit. Let me say first of all this morning that I enjoy life. I really do. I have wine. I have wine to drink, and I drink it every day. It's when the water of God's Word is turned into wine in my soul by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I drink on this wine every day. And I want to tell you something. I may not act like it sometimes, but I have a lot of joy. I have an eternal joy. There is a lot of grief in this life, a lot of problems in life. But really and honestly, my joy is set in heaven. I'm laying my affections on things above. But I have wine in this life. God's been good to me. I'll tell you what, God has made the life that I live right now abundant. He has absolutely been good to me. And if I never had another blessing the rest of my life, I've had more than my share already. And I'm telling you, I enjoy life. I have wine. I have the wine of eternal life, salvation. But I have the wine of abundant life in Jesus Christ every day. All the blessings of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessings of the knowledge of His Word, the blessings of being saved, the blessings of having my wife and my family, the blessings of being in the ministry. I'm telling you what, God has blessed me. The blessings of worship and fellowship. But I'm also keenly aware that I live in a sin-cursed, fallen, evil, wicked world, even though I have the wine of God here. I have no friendship with the world. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger here. And even though I enjoy and appreciate the life that God's given me, I'm thankful to live in the Ozarks. I'm thankful for the trees, and I'm thankful for the outside and the woods and all the blessings and all just living where I live. My goodness, life is full of blessing. But even though I enjoy and appreciate that which God has given us, I guard myself against drinking the wine of the world. I have to guard myself against drinking the wine of the world. This passage of scripture here tells us about the first miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the wine ran out, it is a type or a picture or a message of the fact that this is the best the world has to offer here, but the wine that the world gives you will run out. Let me tell you to you this morning, there is pleasure in sin. There is pleasure in sin. Don't ever tell your kids there's not pleasure in sin. You're lying to them and you know you're lying to them. Sin has a pleasure for a season. That's what the Bible said. But it is pleasurable. Sin is pleasurable. Let me tell you something. When I was living in sin, I don't think anybody had a better time than I had. How many here remembers having a good time when you was in sin? Now, you look back and look at it as, well, that wasn't so great. And I see it from the perspective of God now. But at the time, you was having a good time. Don't say you weren't. So, but you know what happened? The Bible teaches that wine runs out. But there is joy and there is pleasure for a time, just like the wine that was at this wedding. But in time, it ran out. And God wants you to know that. You may be having a wonderful time in your sin. But God wants you to know something. That wine's going to run out. And it's going to buzz out on you, and you're going to be empty in your soul. And the Bible talks about in Job 15:16, how much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water. Psalms 52:3 says, thou lovest evil more than good. Proverbs 2:14 says, who rejoiceth to do evil. Think about that. They rejoice to do evil and in the frowardness of wickedness. Mark 6:22, don't think that Herod and all of them wasn't having a good time at Herod's birthday party whenever Herodias' daughter was dancing and they were drinking, they were having a good time. And all through the Bible talks about, don't think that people who've been into sin don't have a good time. You see, they say to myself, but I enjoy my sin. But what they don't realize is that the wine of sin will run out on them. Let me give you some passages of scripture and with the Bible about some people that the wine ran out on. The Bible tells you in Daniel chapter 5 about a man named Belshazzar. He's king of Babylon. And the Bible said that he went and got wine and he pulled the vessels of God out. And on a night he was partying and had a feast before God. And I'm telling you something, that is one party. You want to read about a party, you read about that party in the Bible. And the Bible said, and it mentions over and over again, they were drinking. And the more they kept drinking, the more they kept defiling God and being an abomination to God. But what Daniel didn't know was that the wine was about, what Belshazzar did not know was that the wine was about to run out on him. And the Bible said in the midst of that party, there came a hand on the wall and it said, your game's up, basically. I won't quote it, but it said, the game's up. And he said, this night your soul's going to be required. And what he didn't know was that the wine of his being a king, the wine of his prosperity, the wine of his pleasure, the wine of his sin, the wine of his mocking God, the wine of turning God away was about to run out on him. And that night, King Belshazzar was slain. Let me tell you something. I don't care who you are and how far you go in life and how much you get, the wine that this world has will run out on you. I'm thinking about the people in Noah's day. The Bible teaches clearly that they were married and given in marriage. And it's just like there were one big party across the whole face of the earth in rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. But the wine ran out the day the door was shut and the rain started coming out. And those people realized the wine of all their pleasure and all their fun and all their worldly living had run out. I'm thinking about Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm telling you something. Listen, we've got it in America. It's around the world. It's a scourge in this country. I'm telling you what, they have convinced themselves they're right. They've convinced themselves that they're having a great time. But I'm going to tell you the wine of that stuff, it ran out one day. God put fire and brimstone in that country. And I'm going to tell you, God's going to judge America. You can mark it in your day book. I don't know how he will, I don't know when, but someday the wine of all this garbage will run out. I think about Pharaoh. He was king of Egypt. But there came a day when the wine ran out. He ran into the middle of the Red Sea and God brought the waters down on him and all the pomp and the pleasure and the prosperity and the wine ran out. I'm thinking about the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 who took all the inheritance from his father and went off into a far country and wasted his substance with riotous living. And I can see him down at the bar buying everybody drinks. And I can see the girls putting her arm around his neck
And I can see him buying the clothes and buying the motorcycles and buying the cars and buying the boats. And I can see him doing it all. But there came a day when the wine ran out and he found himself down the hog pen of sin. I'm telling you this morning, I'm preaching an old time, old fashioned Bible message that the wine of sin will run out on you. I'm talking about Samson. The wine of immorality ran out on Samson. I'm telling you, I figured Delilah was pretty and built. I guarantee you, Samson would not have been attracted to her had she not been attractive, worldly wise. And I'm going to tell you something. He might have laid in bed with her many a night, and he might have had a great time and thought, man, I'm living the life. But I'm going to tell you, when he was blindfolded, when they burned his eyes out and put him like an ox and a mule behind a deal to grind corn with, he found out that the wine of immorality had. May I warn you, some of you men that are out there today, I don't care whether you've been going to church here 50 years or not. Let me tell you something. You stay away from that pornography. You stay away from them other women. You stay away from that junk. I'm going to tell you, you may say, man, this is fun. This is exciting. You may be texting some old gal. You may be piddling around with somebody else's wife. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to nail your hide to the wall. Don't you ever forget the wine of immorality will run out on you. It'll be just like Samson. You'll be grinding at the devil's mill blind, can't see nothing. The wine ran out also for the rich man in Luke chapter 12. He said, I'll tell you what, my crops have come in. He said, my barns is too small. I'm going to build more barns. He said, honey, come in here. I want you to look at my books. Man alive, what are we going to do with all this? He said, I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's build some more barns. Let's do this. He said, you fix supper. I'm going to go up and do my plan. He said, I'm going to show you my blueprints pretty soon. And pretty soon he heard some steps coming up the door, coming up the stairway. And I believe the old man Death, with that old skeleton with that hook in his deal, he thought it was his wife coming up, but it was Death coming. And the Bible, Jesus said, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be? He was enjoying the wines of farms and cattle and all the equipment and all the stuff. But the wine ran out on the rich man. I'm saying this, there come a time when Elvis Presley, he had the world at his feet, but they found him dead beside his bedside. The wine ran out on Elvis Presley. John Lennon and the Beatles had the whole world nearly worshiping them, but he walked up the steps of that building one day and turned around, and a guy blew him into eternity, and he didn't have time to say, oh God, I'm sorry for saying we're more popular than Jesus Christ. The wine ran out on the Beatles, and the wine runs out on the rock stars, and the wine runs out on Hollywood, and the wine runs out on this world. Please believe your Bible today that the wine runs out that this world will give you. The wine will run out. I'm telling you this much. We better get a hold of this truth. We better get a hold of it. The wine's going to run out for the atheist. He's going to tell you something. The old atheist, he lives on God's earth. He eats God's food. He breathes God's air, drinks God's water. And he's enjoying his life, and he's fooling himself into thinking this is wonderful. I know I ever have to give it, but I'm going to tell you something. The day of death is going to come, and the wine's going to run out. I'm going to tell you how fast you can die. Yesterday, a man told me, he said he had a friend that was working under a combine out in Colorado. And he said, Reggie, that combine has a built-in system to it about the drum turning. And he said it got stopped up, and he got underneath it. And he said he got part of it undone there, and he said he took his foot. And he said he kicked that drum to make that thing come loose. And when it did, it grabbed his feet and pulled his body up into that combine and said there it had him locked up here to his waist and literally crushed and mangled and eating his body from here up. He said the men ran over there where he's at. He said they called his wife and they called his family. And this is what the paramedics told him. The paramedics said, we're going to get you out of this in just a little bit, but when we do, you're going to bleed to death in about 15 seconds. And they got his wife down there, and they got his boy down there, and they crawled underneath the combine, and he hugged his wife, and he hugged his boy, and he said, I'm headed into eternity, and the wine of his life had run out. Can I say something to you today? I feel pretty good. Maybe you feel pretty good, but there's going to come a time when the wine of your breath runs out, and the good life that God's given you is going to be done. You better be ready to meet God and quit fooling around. Can I say something to some of you in this church? You need to quit playing games with God. You're giving God second, third, and fourth best in your life. You need to get up in the morning. You need to get to church. I'll tell you, you need to be here on prayer meeting night. You need to be serving God and giving him all your heart. And so I'm telling you, I don't care what you're doing. You're no busier than I am. You're no more important than I am. You need to give God everything you've got. Amen. The wine of your life is going to run out. You're pouring the wine of this world into your soul, and the wine is going to run out on you. I will say again, the adulterers. I don't know why I'm bringing this up again, but I'm telling you right now, adultery, Bible speaks about it, the pleasure, the fun, all the thrill. But you need to stay away from that wine of adultery, the fornication. Kids, you may think, oh, fornicating, I'll tell you what, man, I'll get away, I'll do what I want to do. But I promise you, there'll be no happiness, there'll be no joy. There'll be a day when the wine of fornication runs out on you. The wine of the sodomites, the wine of the pornographers. You may enjoy looking at that pornography, but I'm going to tell you something, the Holy Ghost of Almighty God will not let you enjoy that, and that wine will run out in a way that you will not like. I'm saying this morning, you may desire to be rich. You may want to be famous. You may be ungodly. You may want to be beautiful. Can I tell you something? The wine of beauty runs out. The wine of attractiveness runs out. Here recently, I've never seen nothing like it. Thank you, Brother Paul. I haven't seen nothing like it. You know about the ugliest thing I ever seen in my life is a 65-year-old woman wearing tight jeans. That's about the ugliest thing I ever seen. And I'll tell you, some of you in this room, you're going to be 7 years old wearing your little tight britches because you're getting used to them now. You like them now. And you're going to look like Humpty Dumpty. Yeah. Here's a 7-year-old woman walking around tight britches, a belt all tightened up. Her belly and her butt middle is like this. And a little, it looks like toothpicks she's walking around on. I'm going to tell you something. The wine of it. You know what? She's still living in dreamland. She's still drinking the wine of wanting the boys to look at her when she's 65 and 70 years old. Good land of living. When you're blind that the wine's run out, you're really blind when that wine runs out. I want to tell you something. Beauty just, it'll run out on you. I'll tell you right now, have you noticed that they don't use many old hags on movies? They dump them women as fast as they use them out. They chew and spit them out. Hey, you girls, I'm going to tell you something, you women, quit worrying about your weight. Most of you are more concerned about your weight than you are about your godliness. Say amen right there. I want to tell you something. Sure, I think you ought to take care of your body. Sure, I think you ought to be attractive. I don't want to go to sleep with a slob. Amen? I appreciate Karen taking care of herself. I'll tell you one thing. She don't need no exercise machine. She works in the yard enough to kill anybody. I'll tell you right now, you get you a push lawnmower, you will not need an exercise machine. You know why you don't like this preaching? Because you're guilty. That's the only reason you don't like this preaching, because you're guilty. But I'm going to tell you something. The wine of this world will run out. You may be a sports star. You may think, man, shooting that hoop's the only thing I live for. Can I tell you something? You're going to get old. Your knee's going to wear out. Your eyes is going to get dim. You can't hit the broadside of a bucket, and they ain't going to need you no more. Amen. The wine's going to run out. I'm talking about this, the wine of sports, the wine of beauty, the wine of being famous. O.J. Simpson used to be on the Hertz rental cars advertising, and wine ran out on him. I don't care who you are in this country. I don't care how famous you get. I don't care how rich you get. Can I tell you something? The rich and the famous and the ungodly and the beautiful and the sports stars. Let me tell you something else. The wine's going to run out on the lying leaders of this nation. Let me tell you something. Oh, Ahab and Jezebel stole poor Naboth's vineyard, killed him and killed his sons. So nobody could make a claim on that property. Did you know 3 years later, the wine ran out on Ahab? The Bible said he was in a chariot, and the Bible said the enemy, there's a soldier. You know what he did? He just had his bow and his arrow, pulled it up, and the Bible said he shot an arrow venture. He just said, I ain't got nobody to shoot at. I just want to shoot one. But the Holy Ghost of God, Almighty God, took that arrow, and Ahab had a brass deal on, a protective harness. Did you know the Bible said that arrow went right into his chest? God took that arrow. He said, Ahab, you may have thought 3 years ago you got by with that garbage, but he said, the wine is up today and the wine's out, and that arrow went straight into his heart. His blood ran down into the chariot, and just like the prophet Elijah said, the dogs licked his blood in Jezreel. Well, 4 years goes by, 5 years goes by, 6 years goes by, 10 years goes by, 12 years goes by, 15 years go by, 17 years go by, and 20 years later, Jezebel is sitting up in the window of the city of Jezreel. And old Jehu comes through there and looks up at her. and said, who's with her? Who's against her? And those old eunuchs up there, they knew she was a sorry, low-down dirt bag. They threw her out the window. She hit the streets, and the chariots went over her. And I'll tell you, when he come back from eating dinner, all that was left of that woman was her skull, and her nasty mind thought up all the filth of the world, and where her hands and her feet, where she did her dirty deeds with. And the dogs ate her up. Just like Elijah said. Old prophet Elijah got his finger, and they didn't like Elijah's preaching either. But he said, I'm going to tell you something, Jezebel. He said, you may be thinking you're getting by with it now, but it's going to come a day when the wine, you may be enjoying the palace. You may be enjoying all them vineyards. You may be enjoying your wine, but there's going to be a day when the wine runs out. Let me tell you something about Bill and Hillary Clinton. They're the nearest thing to Ahab and Jezebel I ever saw in my life. I can take you through Ahab and Jezebel's life, and I can show you Bill and Hillary Clinton are the pattern of Ahab and Jezebel in the Bible. Land deals. You name it. I want to tell you something. Hillary's been flying. You know what? They make me sick. They make me sick. They go on, act like they care for the common person, the poor person. Well, why don't she quit taking $15 million vacations and pass that out to the poor people if she's so liberal? Yeah. I'll tell you something. Listen to me. 20-some million dollars for making speeches. Claim they were broke when they left the White House, lying out her teeth. I'll tell you, she's not a Jezebel. I haven't seen him. I want to tell you something. I'm sick of hearing about Bill and Hillary Clinton. But there's going to be a day, Bob, when I don't have to hear about them no more. I'll tell you, the wine's going to run out on Bill, and the wine's going to run out on Hillary. There were a lying bunch. Oh, Ahab and Jezebel was a lying bunch. They concocted a bunch of lies on Naboth. I want to tell you, Bill Clinton got up there and committed perjury before a grand jury. He ought to be in prison now, not running loose. She lied about our soldiers in Benghazi. She ought to be in prison. She ought not be loose. And if you don't like that preaching, why don't you go find you a liberal church? I've had 1,000 go through here before you got through here. And if you leave, it won't shake me in the least little bit. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what L.T. Hopper told me, the greatest truth I ever had preaching back here one day at the back of this church. He said, Reggie, I love you. You're my friend. But if you keep preaching like you're preaching, ain't nobody going to come here. And that's what he told me. But he said, what's it? But he said this, but if you ever quit preaching like you're preaching, I'll quit coming. And he never quit coming. Amen. Can I tell you somebody else? Barack Hussein Obama. Well, you say, well, you shouldn't talk. You're not supposed to speak evil of leaders. I ain't speaking evil of leaders. I'm telling you the truth. That guy claims he's a friend of the poor man. Last I heard, his wife took a $5 million vacation to Hawaii on taxpayer funds. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I kind of like what Zach said yesterday. He said, Daddy, if I was ever president, I said, I think what I'd do the first thing. He said, instead of taking $15, $20 million vacations all year long on the American taxpayer, he said, I just put out this. I'd say, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take $20 million, and we're going to send on vacation 100 different families or however many you'd buy, and you send in your letter why you need a vacation. And he said, me and my family won't take a vacation, so some of you that never do get to take one can take one. He said, if they're really liberal, let them do that, amen. But can I say something to you? I'm tired of hearing about Barack Hussein Obama. And bless God Almighty, someday the wine's going to run out. He ain't going to be president no more. Woo! Glory! The wine's going to run out on this crowd. I tell you, we got a country of lying people. This country has got a spirit of lying on it. You can't hear the truth for nothing. My grandpa Kelly used to say, two things hard to hear. One's the truth and the other's ham meat frying. And it's a lot easier to hear ham meat frying than it is the truth. Lying leaders. But let me say this, the wine's going to run out on a bunch of Norwood boys. And you can give this CD to everybody in this country you want to. Norwood and Mountain Grove and Mansfield and Van Zandt and Grove Springs and Hartville and Wright County and Douglas County. There's a bunch of guys sitting with their feet cocked up on their divans this morning watching some kind of stupid news show on TV. Wouldn't give you a dime to be at the house of God. All they'll do is call you bunch of folks a bunch of hypocrites. They're too righteous to sit in church with you. They're too holy to come sit in church with you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Their wine's going to run out. The wine's going to run out. By the way, Bill and Julie and all of you, it's good to see you. You ought to repent and get back to church here. Hey, we love you. Amen. Good to see you. But I'm telling you this much. They're out there this morning, got on their four-wheeler, went and checked their cattle. God's been good to these men of this area, given farms, grass and rain. God rained on them this morning, and they won't give God the time of day. And they're drinking up the world's wine of their cattle and their farms. They ain't got any time for God on Sunday. You tell them I said the wine's going to run out on them one of these days. And they're going to wish they'd have shut the brakes off the pickup truck, put the dog in the dog pen and got to church. Because that world's wine. Can I tell you something? I've been in the auction business 40 years, and I don't care how much stuff you got. They're going to sell it out on you. You're putting together all your land and your cattle and all your possessions, and I'm going to tell you what, your kids are going to fight over it and hate each other over it probably, if they're like most of them. In time the attorneys and the auctioneers get done with you, you ain't going to have near as much left. Sleeping in on Sunday morning, Lord God Almighty, get yourself up out of bed and get to church. Amen. Amen. He died for me and he died for you. Amen. We sleep for him. I told last Wednesday night at church, I said, I'll tell you one thing we're going to start doing in church. You go to sleep, I'm going to ask you to stand while you're sleeping. I told Brother Lakey, I'm going to start with him. Brother Lakey, please stand. No. Honest to goodness, sometimes you can come in church so tired. I'm honest with you. If I didn't preach hard, I'd go to sleep while I was preaching. I'm so tired. Amen. Boy, I want to tell you something. If you're that tired, sleep away. If you can sleep through my preaching, more power to you. Going hunting. Killing that deer. I want to tell you something. You're leaving God out of your life. Fishing. I don't care what you do. Cattle, business. You think what you're doing is more important than getting the house of God and worshiping God. You're drinking the world's wine, and I'm going to tell you something that's going to run out on you in a way you ain't going to like. And I want to say it again to you, the wine of your youth is going to run out. Boy, I'm being honest with you. The guy told me yesterday, he said, now, Red, you've got two choices. You can either get old or die. I'm going to tell you right now, I've had more energy than a rabbit most of my life. But I'll tell you, the rabbit's bones is getting stiff. Man, if I wake up in the morning, you know, and I think about my dad, you say, he said, Reggie, just get up and go out and milk. He said, after about a half hour, everything starts loosening up. You feel pretty good. But he said, you lay there in bed, you're going to rust to death. Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you what I got. How many wants to hear my pains this morning? I got a shoulder here the date right. I got a hip here the date. I'll tell you what, I got a half hour's worth of pains to tell you. And I say the wine of our youth is going to run out. Brother Danny, friend, there's going to be a day, and Reggie can't even walk. But if I live long enough, there'll be a day I can't get out of my chair and walk up to that pulpit. That's why I want to give God my best now, because there'll be a day when I can't. Amen. The wine of your youth is going to run out. Your wine of your youth is going to run out. Don't let the devil feed you his wine. Seek thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Amen. Don't drink the world's wine. It'll run out on you. It'll vomit it up when you get done. I could preach on it for an hour. The wine of your health, the wine of your beauty, and the wine of your wealth, and the wine of your fleshly enthusiasm will run out. But you know what? I want to ask this and I'm out of here. Two things. What are you going to do when the wine runs out of your life? Despair? Boy, one of the greatest principles, greatest truths of this passage of Scripture is they took the case to Jesus. Did you know, you guys preached my message before I got up here? Oh, Ralph got up here, the wine had run out on him. He was a picture of a man whom the wine had run out on. You see, the first guy got up, and Joel, you did a wonderful job. I like that. Yeah, that's really good. But you know the difference between them two men they had on the deal? One, the wine hadn't run out on yet of the world, but the other one run out of wine. And the other one said, I ain't got no wine. I'm glad that whenever it comes time in your life when you say, we ain't got no wine. I'm glad whenever you've been broke, you've lost it all, when your health's bad and your beauty's gone, that you can go to Jesus. Amen. And he'll take that precious old book and he'll turn that water into wine in your life. I'm glad you can take, you're here this morning, you're lost, and the wine's run out in your life. I'm telling you right now, if you'll come to Jesus Christ, he will turn the water into wine for you, and he'll give you a wine that you won't regret drinking. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, I want to deep drink deeply off the wine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God we can take our case to Jesus, and that's what I'm going to ask you here today. Maybe you're here today and you're lost, and the wine's run out on you. I hope it runs out on you quick. I hope you realize quick that the world's wine will never get you nowhere. But what I'm telling you, I hate to say this. I hate to admit it. Grieves my soul to even mention it. When I started drinking, Boone's Farm apple wine. And the reason I liked it is because it not only made you drunk, it made you mean. You fight anything in front of you. I'd like to ask you boys and you girls in this church, if you ain't never tasted a drop of liquor, please don't ever take the first drop. Amen. Don't be honest with you, I never had anything run out on me so fast in my life. Within 2 years, I found myself crawling around drunk as a skunk, not knowing which way it was up, wondering what in the world's life all about. I am so glad that when the wine of this world ran out for me, there was a place I could go. There was a person I could turn to. And he said, Reg, you let go of that old worldly wine. I'll give you some wine and never get old to you. It'll never run out to you. You know what? I've been preaching 30 some years now. Oh, I tell you, wine's still good. Still good. Still go to that old book. Don't ever get tired of it. Don't ever get weary of it. Don't ever make me sick. Don't make me vomit. Don't make me run off the road. Oh, I'm glad for that good wine. I want to tell you something. I would recommend it to anybody today. Let go of the world's wine. You come to Jesus Christ and he'll give you the wine of eternal life. Give you salvation. Let's bow our heads in prayer today as the pianist comes. You know, while the penance is coming, I want to talk to you folks for just a moment. I'm your pastor, and I love you. I'm not a good pastor, and don't try to tell me I am, because I know I'm not. I'm a halfway decent preacher, and that's about it. I'm not a good Christian. Don't make any claim to be. But I have a wonderful Savior. I have a blessed, holy Savior. And I'm totally leaning on him. I'm totally trusting what he did on the cross for my sin. And I just want to encourage the church today that unless you've got me fooled, I know or I believe that most everybody in here is saved. I didn't say everybody's living right and doing everything right. I know that I can preach on your sin and you can quickly point out mine. And so I say, let's give each other a little mercy. I say, let's encourage each other a little bit, but let's also be honest with each other. And let's don't cover for each other. Let's just be honest, speak the truth in love. But unless I'm fooled, I think most people in here are saved. But I might be talking to some old trucker driving down the road today, and you've been all down the road. You've had everything the world offers. You've had $100 bills stacked in your billfold. You've had women. You've had boats and you've had four-wheelers and motorcycles and cars. You've had what the world can give you. But in your heart right now, you know the wine's run out. Can I tell you, go to Jesus right now. He'll give you the wine of eternal life and he'll give you the wine of forgiveness. Man, what joy it'll bring. And it may be somebody listening that you never even planned on listening to this message. Oh, I would to God that you'd get done with the wine of this world and realize you may be enjoying it right now, but please hear my warning. The wine will run out. The wine of the pleasure of immorality will run out. The wine of money will run out. The wine of ownership run out. You know the truth about it is it doesn't make it with what you got. If Christ ain't the smack center of it, it runs out.
And there may be those in this building today, and I'd really like to encourage you in this. The hardest thing that kept me from getting saved was the fact that I knew other folks thought I was saved. It was embarrassing to me. And the reason it was embarrassing to me was because I was so proud. Let me tell you about pride. It'll keep you out of heaven. It'll take you to hell. It'll put chains around your soul. It'll bind you up. I'll tell you something else pride will do. It'll keep Christians from having the blessing. You're too proud to admit that what you're doing is sin. You got it all justified. You got it all rationalized. You got it all figured out, I know. But I'm telling you, that wine's going to run out. You better quit drinking that worldly wine. If you're here today and you're not saved, or you need to get right with God about a matter, why don't you shell off that pride today? As the pianist begins to play, why don't you come to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, I've been drinking wine of the world and I'm tired of it. It's got bugs and worms in it. Lord, it's killing me. Would you come? Is there a person in this building today who'd say, preacher, I'm lost without God and I need to be saved. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up anywhere in this building? I'd like to lead you to Jesus Christ. Is there a hand in this building anywhere? Raise it high. I am lost without God. I don't see a hand in the building. I don't think a preacher ought to have to beg Christians very much, and I'm not. But if you're here today as a child of God, you're not the first one. Went off to the side of the road and stopped at the devil's booth and drank a little of his wine. You need to get right with God about that. I really think that probably the wine that gets most Christians that the world offers is just the wine of possessions, wine of having this and having that. And there's legitimacy to that because we want to provide for our families and we want to provide for our children. And we know we have that God-given responsibility to do that. And yet, if we're not careful, we're drinking the wine of the world's approval. We want to be approved by the world. Let's stand together as we're dismissed today. Father in heaven, we pray now that thou wouldst take thy word. And Lord, take our efforts of preaching thy word and use it for your glory. Pray, God, that you'd save people's souls with it, Lord. Pray that you'd turn people to repentance and faith in Christ. And Lord Jesus, help us to each of us, Lord, recognize places where we may have been drinking the devil's wine. Throw it away, get rid of it, break the bottle. And Lord, get a hold of the wine of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. We love you in Jesus' name. I want you to play "To God Be the Glory." Would you hit that? I feel like singing it. Here we go. Can you hit that somehow a little bit higher, maybe? I don't know. There you go, right there. There it is there. Help me sing that and let's go home giving God the glory today. Man, hadn't it been a good day? I want to thank you men for giving that play. I come within a whisker, not even preaching. I said preaching would only take away, but I felt God wanted me to. Let's give God the glory as we go home.